Josh Lewenberg, TSN NBA reporter, joined us and covering the Raps. Josh, your chances of staying there long are definitely a possibility. I'm not sure if you read that or not, the NBA's plans that, hey, if you elect to go cover it, there'll be certain levels of it, but once you're in, you're in. What's your thoughts?
My thoughts are I wouldn't be thrilled about the idea of being in Orlando for 3.5 months. In the NBA bubble or even outside of the NBA bubble to cover it, I think it would be tough. And I think it's unlikely that I end up there, to be honest. I think it's unlikely that any Canadian media, or certainly more than one or two, end up going to cover the remainder of the season and the playoffs. I just think, and this isn't specific necessarily for Toronto media and Canadian media, although I think it's tougher when you're factoring in the crossing of the border and citizenship and all of that. But I think in general, it's going to be strange. I know we'll talk about this more from the basketball standpoint, from the NBA player standpoint, but from a media standpoint, and this really is sort of an interesting side of it, is there's not going to be a ton of access because we know the NBA is going to protect its players and coaches, personnel, staff as much as possible. The media isn't going to be talking directly to players in the way that we're used to. They're certainly not going to be in the locker room. So I think at the end of the day, the cost is going to be pretty significant to pay your way, stay in Florida for 3.5 months. And then certainly the time commitment, being away from home and family, is significant, and all that for not much of a payoff in terms of actual access and content. I just don't see too many reporters deciding that it, and certainly companies deciding that it makes sense to send people down for that, all things considered.
Yeah, that's fair. If you're not getting a lot of access, what's the point? But look at the overall plan of the NBA. Do you like their return to play plan?
I think it's as good as they possibly could have come up with. So I've talked to players over the last few weeks, going back before the NBA had a plan in place, just trying to figure out what people were hoping to see. And I think the consensus from those guys were that they were hoping for one, as fair a plan as possible, and two, as simple a plan as possible, especially because there were so many complicated gimmicks out there that the NBA was considering in terms of a World Cup style round robin in the playoffs to start things off, and then there were reseeding options and all these different things. I think both of those things, fairness and simplicity, were really tough given the situation, but I think this is probably the best plan that they could have come up with. It checks off both of those boxes outside of the possible play-in tournaments. It's pretty much the same playoff format. In terms of fairness, you're not going to appease everybody. It sounds like there were some teams that were left out of the 22-team proposal that weren't happy, that would have liked to be there for player development and all that. But given the fact that the more people in the bubble, the riskier it is, sort of understand the decision that the NBA made. They allowed a few of the teams that were sort of on the cusp of playoff contention to have a shot here to squeeze into the postseason over these 8 regular season games. So I think it makes sense in a lot of ways, but as I said, there's so many voices involved in this, between the players and the owners, teams and all of that. And each one of them, they all have their different priorities, different things that they're trying to accomplish here. I mean, the common denominator is money. Obviously, everybody wants to make money, and coming back and playing, it's going to accomplish that, which is why I think in some cases that's being considered more than health and safety is, which isn't right, but that's just the unfortunate reality of the world that we're living in. But even in terms of some teams wanting to, I mean, LeBron James, let's use that as an example. LeBron James and the Lakers, their championship window is closing. He's not getting any younger. They want to play probably more than some of the teams that aren't in immediate contention to win a championship. So there's just so many different factors that are in play here, and I think it is going to make it really tough for the NBA, even though they've got a plan in place and they've got dates penciled in here. I think there are still so many obstacles that stand in their way, so many health and safety, important health and safety things they've got to iron out over the coming weeks. And I think it's still very much a work in progress before basketball can actually be played in Orlando at the end of next month.
Josh Lewenberg joins us, TSN NBA reporter for the Raptors. And Josh, it's interesting. You know, some other teams said they wanted a chance in. Realistically, they didn't have much of a chance. Now, I know the NBA changed. You know, they basically threw a life preserver to some of the teams that aren't in eighth place and said, hey, if you're within four games, then you'll essentially get two extra games and you'll have to win both of them. You know, to me, that's just like, if I'm the eight seeded teams, I'm kind of, they're the ones out of all the people involved in this are probably the ones who get screwed the most potentially.
Yeah, Gregor, that's a great example of in any situation here, no matter what the NBA was going to come up with, there was always going to be at least one team, and probably more than that, that wasn't happy with the format. In this case, yeah, it's probably those teams at the end of the stand, at the bottom of the standings, that would have had a guaranteed spot if the NBA had just brought back the 16 teams and went straight to the playoffs. But again, it comes back to money here. With every extra game they're playing and with every extra team they allow into this bubble, the more money they're going to make. And in the end, I mean, if players look at it this way, it's good for everybody. It's obviously the NBA salary cap, the CBA, and just in general, the league's revenue, the players' contracts in the end. All of it depends on how much money the league is able to salvage here. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, and I feel like this is the case in almost any industry right now. You're almost looking at money and the economy versus health and safety, and it shouldn't be as tough a decision as it is. It should, as I said, always come down to the health and safety of people, but it I think in the end is a more often than not a tougher decision than it should be, and that's what the NBA is sort of facing right now with the format. So, yeah, I mean, you could look at it both ways. If you're, let's say, the Raptors, for example, at the top of the standings, you could say, okay, well, this is great. Eight regular season games, we don't have much to play for. We can sort of ease our way into things while these teams at the bottom of the standings don't have that luxury and have to play hard and fight for seeding and all of that. Or you could look at it, and I know some teams have, in the other way, where they're probably going to be on cruise control while other teams are ramping up, playing hard, and probably getting into game shape while doing that. So maybe those lower-seeded teams will be better prepared for the playoffs than teams like Milwaukee and Boston and Toronto will be.
Yeah, to me, there's such a big gap in the NBA. You know, even if they're more prepared, that might so they might win one game if they had to face him in the first round, maybe two. But to me, the gap in the NBA. Okay, credit to good teams. The good teams are clearly better than the other ones. Now, the Raptors, Josh, you saw it firsthand. No team had more injuries constantly than the Raptors. Let's say they come. What do you expect from the Raptors? Because they should be healthy for the first time this entire season.
Yeah, well, when we're using health in this case, it means a couple things. Like, in terms of the injuries, there's no question. That's the silver lining for the Raptors from the time off here, is that they've had this time to presumably heal up. And for guys like Marc Gasol, that's huge, because, I mean, Gasol had the lingering hamstring injury. It cost him 28 games. Even before that, he was just exhausted from all the basketball that he'd been playing over the last year between the championship run and then the World Cup, winning that with Spain. You had Lowry and Van Vliet, who, I mean, it seems like every season by the end of it, they're just so banged up. Norman Powell had been dealing with a bunch of things. So, yeah, I mean, they've had this time off to heal up and rest and presumably come back fresh and ready to go. I mean, we've seen some pictures that are out there circulating on the internet of Marc Gasol recently, who's looking awfully svelte these days. He looks like he's in good shape. Lowry looks like he's in good shape. So that's good news, I think, is really good for a veteran team like the Raptors. But then there's the other side of it. Health, in this case, also means the virus, right? And that's the ultimate wild card here. And while I agree with you, Gregor, that there is a big gap between the elite teams and the not-so-elite teams in the NBA, the great equalizer here in this scenario could be the virus, because the NBA seems to have accepted this reality, and it really is the reality, that players are going to test positive here. It would be a miracle of all miracles if they could go through the season and the playoffs here without anybody testing positive. It's going to happen. They're going to have a few cases, but their plan is to test every day, find the guy that tests positive, you isolate him and quarantine him for a week, and then on with the show. You continue on playing without that player. But there are a few questions that come to mind here right off the top of my head. One, what if there is an outbreak? What if more than a few players get it? What if an entire team gets it? And then also, what happens if that one player that gets it is a star, is one of the better players on one of the better teams? What happens if it's Giannis? What happens if it's LeBron James? Then all of a sudden, yeah, I mean, obviously there's the health and safety standpoint, and we're talking about it from a human standpoint, but we're also, if basketball is being played, let's talk about it from a basketball standpoint. What if Giannis were to test positive in the conference finals? All of a sudden, the Bucks, a team favored to win, is no longer favored to win. So that's another thing you have to consider when it comes to a potential restart to the season here. The virus could play a major part in deciding who ends up winning an NBA championship, which seems secondary in the grand scheme of things and in the world and all of that, but it could end up playing a big part in the way this thing plays out.
It'll be fascinating to watch, Josh. We'll see, and good luck if they send you to Orlando in the bubble.
All right, Gregor. Take care.